Hello, everyone. This is Luke Jean-Louis, the host of the Deep Voice Man Show. Thanks for joining us today. We have a treat in store for you guys. Our guest is Gustavo Romero, and he is a coach. He coaches students, employees, and families. It's the first time I've ever heard of a family coach, which is amazing. And I think it's very necessary for families to have coaches. And Gustavo is the founder and CEO of Think Into Success Academy. He is someone who coaches businesses and managers to become leaders, and also coaches employees to exit the rat race at the start of business and achieve financial freedom. And he has a proven 12-step coaching and ongoing support nurturing that he does for people to develop their skills. So we're very fortunate to have Gustavo here as a guest, and he was able to carve out some time in his packed schedule to sit down and have a chat with us, which is amazing. And so, Gustavo, I'm curious, what is your background exactly, and how did you first gravitate towards what you do today?
Hey, Luke, how are you doing? Well, thank you so much for inviting me to your program. I really appreciate it. And yes, well, my background is I have a master's in business administration with a specialty in entrepreneurship. And I also study business engineer. And, well, business engineer is very particular because it's a career that's only been taught in Chile and in France.
Wow.
Yes. So basically, the difference between business engineering or a business administration is the business administration is to manage a business like a general manager. How do you run it? The business engineer is someone who goes through the four areas of a business. So we go through production, human resources, finance, and marketing. We go deep into it. So it's someone who can form teams so they can run the business successfully.
Wow, that's amazing. And so you're educating me here, teaching me something new. So my understanding, and again, thank you for coming on as a guest, and thank you for the answer you provided. I just want to mention, but my understanding, based on what you told me, is that Chile and France are the only countries where the concept
yes, from
of
what
business,
there's a yeah. few business schools in the U.S. They talk about business engineering, and you can find them on Google, but many will not do that. It's a very specific type of career. And well, when I was in Chile in 2011, as soon as I graduated from my MBA, two universities asked me to become a professor for this university for teaching entrepreneurship. And I would say that there is when my passion for coaching started, because I needed to coach first year of business school students, and they have to start a business, and they have to sell $10,000 in 4 months. If they don't do it, they don't pass the class. So I have to make sure they do pass the class. And also, they keep the money. The money is not for anybody except for them. But all my students were able to start a business, sell $10,000 within 4 months, keep the money, so which is good for them for the summer. And then my desire to become a coach started right there.
Wow, that's amazing. That's incredible. So you were invited to be a professor, and you taught students basically to start a business and to earn $10K from that business in revenue, and they got to keep the money, which is great. But that's the first I've heard of that, where someone who was a business professor in a school actually taught taught business. you know, so many professors just teach concepts and theories, but you actually guided students to start a business and succeed, and no student failed. You helped every student achieve success, which is amazing. And
I was a professor that I don't follow the rules. I think so. Sometimes follow the rules is important. I was taught to teach through books. And so I decided to teach through books, but also put this this business into it. So they have to go through the books and through the business. But they enjoy it, and they make money, and they were happy with it.
Wow. That's amazing. So you essentially didn't stick, you know, to the rules. Obviously, rules are important, but you sort of thought outside the box.
I really want them, because they were there for business. So you can't teach someone how to make bread. You have to get him dirty, and he need to make the bread. Whether the bread is good or bad, at least he made the bread. So he need to leave that experience. And the whole idea for me was for them to have that experience of starting a business. And it's not like the business that sometimes we start here, that we open a business, which to go. They have to have employee contracts. They need to know who's going to be the general manager, who's going to be the finance manager, who's going to be the human resources manager, who's going to be the marketing manager. So they build in a small business, but in the same structure that a big business would be. So if someone was talking to me as a production manager about sales, said, you are the sales manager? And the guy said, no. Well, who is the sales manager? Well, he's in charge of marketing and sales. Then he needs to talk to me. So they fit in their roles. And so this is like when you play football or you play soccer or you play any sport that is required as a team, you have to rely on your teammates for them to do their job the best way possible so the whole team can cooperate. So if you try to do other people's job, that is not going to work, because you can't do that everything. There's people that have expertise. So you teach the students how to work as a team, how to trust to each other so they can find the success they need to find.
Wow, that's amazing. That's incredible. So
thank you.
They actually, through you, they actually get this hands-on sort of on-the-job training, which is, in my opinion, the best way to do it. And the importance of teamwork. You know, they say teamwork makes the dream work. And that sounds cliche, but it's so true. And,
it is.
You know, and so many business owners want to do everything, which isn't ideal. So it's important to have a team and delegate and allocate responsibilities and whatnot. So that is so important, and that you are teaching students that. And the best way to teach people is through action. You know, so many people want to get ready and study everything, and you know, constantly they're stuck at analysis paralysis. I think because of fear in many ways. But once you start something, even before you're completely ready and know everything, that really helps to get you on the ball, so to speak. And so you got these students with a, you know, creating a job, which is creating a business, excuse me, which is amazing.
Yes. So what happened is this, and I explain to people sometimes, is when you are an employee, you are being taught what to do, and you get paid for what you do, and you become good at what you do. So you decide that you are so good at what you do that you're going to become an entrepreneur. But there's a big difference between being a self-employed and being a business owner. So a self-employed is an employee who take the direction of do something for himself and being the best. But the problem is a business owner is not a self-employee. A business owner is someone who surround himself with people that have an expertise in do something way more better or way better than the business owner. So the business owner will have someone who does sales better than him, someone who does marketing better than him, someone who does the production better than him, and someone who can handle employees better than him. These people has an employee mentality, and they're going to be an expert in what they do. As a business owner, I need to manage these people so in harmony, the group or the business can grow bigger. So when a self-employed wants to become a business owner, it's had a problem because for him it's really difficult to let go to his business, to employees because it was said, it's so hard to find employees. You can't trust on them. The problem is because he's a perfectionist. He wants to do it perfect.
Yeah.
But that's why a self-employed normally remain a very low business. When they want to grow, they need to learn to let go of their business and be managed and run through employees, and they oversee. You know, this is like having a big ship. You have the captain, and the captain is the one who tells the Marines where to go. But the Marines have to communicate with the engine size and say to the engine, go forward or back or back or backwards, you know. And it communicates with different people. So the captain, even is the person who make all the decision to know where the ship is going, he is not the person handling the individual activity inside the ship. You see, so if you want to be the captain of your life, you want to be the captain of your business, you need to have good people working for you, doing things that you are not the best to do, but you're the best to manage and encourage.
Yeah.
So a big business owner has to work in being a good leader so he can lead other people for the path they want to follow.
Wow, that's amazing. Thank you so much for that. And it's interesting you made the distinction. Yeah, you got it. And it's interesting you made the distinction between self-employed and business owners because a lot of people get this confused. Oftentimes, self-employed people, they work many hours because they're doing everything. They're perfectionists, like you said. And oftentimes, they work more hours than an employee does. And you know, it's interesting. And I'm sure that's not what they had in mind when they wanted to start a business. So even Henry Ford talks about this. You know, he always talked about having people around him that were smarter than him. And you know, one of the best businessmen of all time. And so I love the ship analogy. The captain doesn't do everything or doesn't handle everything. He just manages the crew, the people who are experts at what they do individually. And again, it goes back to that teamwork. Idea that you had mentioned, and so many books about this. Obviously, there's the E-Myth by Gerber that talks about this, how business owners have to work hard on their business and not work hard in their business, which is a difference. And also, they should focus on what they do good at and delegate the rest. There's a book I like called The One Thing, which talks about this kind of thing. And so thank you so much for that. Now, I understand you're a family coach. This is the first time I've actually ever heard of a family coach, but I can understand why it's needed. Many families have issues and problems. What exactly is a family coach? What do you do as a family coach?
Okay, so what I do is I help. You need to understand that the family is like a business. When you have the father, you have the mother, you know, and the union of two people, father and mother, which is people that they don't know each other, but they get together because they love each other and they understand each other. But we men and women, we have different goals. We have personal and professional goals that are different. And so when we don't know, we don't have a common goal, we start drifting away from each other. So the idea, what I do with them, is to realign their personal and professional goals to fulfill a one main goal. So they can still be successful in their personal and professional life, but also contributing to the main goal as a family. Beyond that, the father might have a business. So I do business coaching so I can help his business to prosper. Prospering his business will give confidence to the family that all that is needed is going to be met. Finances is the number one reason of most people getting divorced. And when you get in divorce, you destroy your family, but you also destroy the self-confidence of your kids. So I can help the husband, if he has a business, to be successful in the business. If the husband or the wife, whether they are not entrepreneurs, but they work for a company, I can also help them to improve inside of their career so they'd be successful in their career. Later on comes children. And so I help them to prosper with their children. And when the children have the day to go to school, I help kids to grow confident in themselves, you know, and really this is all about the way you think and you believe. So if your parents or grandparents used to spank you because they thought that was the right way, is nothing wrong with that? It is wrong. But what happened is that they were spanked too. So you will do the same. So
right.
to change that, you need to understand to change your beliefs related to that. So what
wow.
I do is help parents to have a better relationship with their kids, but also
right.
I have the kids to gain confidence themselves, don't have to have this peer pressure in it. And so one day they can choose the right career for their life, the right business for their life, and hopefully get married as well. So why we have coaches for our business to be successful when the most important business is your marriage? You see,
right.
your marriage have also the four areas of a business: as a production
right.
side, as a marketing
right.
side, as a human resources side, and as a finances. So there's going to be money involved in a marriage. There's finances.
Yeah.
There's going to be relationship between family and external family. So there's going to be human resources. There's going to be production. What it means, we are going to produce, we're going to have kids. You see, we're going to have kids, and we can't let those kids like employees. We're going to divorce. If you break your business, the employees go to work to someone else. Guess what? When you get a divorce, your kids cannot go and be part of another family. They're still part of that family. So it really affects them. And also we have the marketing. How do you want to be seen to the outside as a family? You know,
right.
do you want them to, you want to be an example to other people? If you want to be an example, you want to make sure
right.
that your kids are dressed correctly, you dress correctly, your wife dress correctly, or vice versa, or either way. So the idea is that you are the way you believe you are. And so you're going to dress, you're going to eat, you're going to behave, you're going to exercise the way you believe.
Right.
So if you want to improve your life as a family
right.
and grow
right.
and lead a generation after generation, a legacy, then
right.
that's the way I help. What I normally focus on my client is do not work for you today. Work for your grandkids. So you think in two generations ahead. What you're making today is not for you or for your kids, but for your grandkids. How that helped when your kids grow up and they have a family, they don't have to think, oh my God, I don't have that job that my dad used to have or the money
right.
my dad used to have. I don't know how I'm going to maintain my kids. And then your parents said, you don't have to worry. I'm going to take care of my grandkids. You are going to take care of your grandkids. And so the family keep growing and keep living through generations when you're working with that mentality.
Wow, that's amazing. And thank you for that. And so you do incredible work as a family coach, and it's all tied together. Obviously, with you know, we always talk about work-life balance, but it's all mixed in, and there's overlap. And I like how you compare family to a business, and there's a lot of, obviously, similarities. There's the HR side, the finance side, marketing, whatnot. And so it's interesting how finance is also the top reason, or one of the top reasons for divorce. So it's great that you help folks in relationships in this area. And my belief is that everyone needs a coach, and you can have a specific coach for a specific area in your life. Nothing wrong with that. And I think you do great work, because obviously not only is there a high divorce rate, and finance is part of that, but there's also a high failure rate with businesses. So, teaching people how to run a business the right way is so important, so we can turn around the high failure rate of businesses and the high divorce rate of marriages. And it's interesting how, everyone's different, and everyone has their goals, but you work to bring about alignment so families, are not dysfunctional, and they're functional, so to speak. And so, so that is amazing. And it's interesting. You talk about how people should work hard for the grandkids, for future generations, and that is, I think, so important. It's the American dream. Everyone wants their children or grandchildren to do better than they did, and you help people achieve that American dream. And that's so critical. So thank you for that. And I'm curious now, obviously you've been helping people for a very long time, employees, students, families, businesses, whatnot. And can you talk to us about now, about the current state of businesses and families? What challenges has the pandemic posed?
Okay, so the problem with the pandemic is that we have here the news to drive our lives.
Right.
And whether the news are good or bad, I will say the news are there to, you need to understand that the news, the channel that you watch is a business.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
they need ratings. And yeah. a rating means that if I have an information that will bring more people into watch my program, I'm going to be able
right.
to sell the space to advertisements so I can make more
yeah.
money. And
right.
those people are there so simply for a matter of business. So providing the information to you, they might provide an information that is not correct. They might excuse themselves later on. But at the moment, it was needed because increased the ratings of the channel, and they needed to have and make more money. So everything in television costs money, and they have to sell it. Now, in your life, if you allow yourself to receive negative information, and you permit that negative information to take root into yourself, it's going to affect you. So if you, if they're saying people are dying and you think you're going to die, guess what? We attract what we think the most. If you think the most you're going to die, guess what? You're going to die. You see? So it's very, you have to be very careful not to stay away from the reality of the world. Protect yourself. You don't have to pay attention to the news so much because people talk. People will tell you, look, there's a pandemic. You have to wear a mask. And then you don't need to find out more. You just put your mask and keep. We are like in a mirror. We mirror people. It's people are staying home and not going out, that you understand that this might be a reason for that, and you stay home and don't go out. When people start going out and wear the mask, then you're going to get a mask and you're going to wear the mask. You're going to talk to people. You know, when people are buying more milk, it's a tendency to, okay, buy more milk. Well, maybe I should be buying more milk. You see, so people normally follow people and because we live in a world who is communicated. You don't need to tell someone to tell you we run out of milk or we run out of masks or we're in a pandemic and everybody's going to die. Let's put it this way, and so you have an idea. The 1918 Spanish flu, it was similar like this one. If you read it, have very similar symptoms. So is it the same? It's almost the same. It's not the same, of course, but some of the same.
Yeah.
That flu lasts 3 years, and 50 million people died, and 500 people got contagious with that. Now, this one, we've been 2 years. It hasn't been 500 million people contagious. It hasn't been 50 million dead. You see?
Right.
So we have more advanced technology. We are more aware. But also we do exercise and we take care of ourselves better. So don't panic. And also at the end, leave it in the hands of God. You see, God is the one who gave your life and can take it. Now, he's not going to take it forcibly, but if when you leave, you put that worry to him and you don't worry, then life works much better.
Wow. Thank you so much for that. And it's interesting how you mentioned the news is a business. Obviously, they want you to watch them and continue to watch them so they can show you commercials or whatnot. And that's their primary purpose, is to make money and through selling advertisements. And so that's something people need to be wary of. Obviously, the news tends to report negative stuff because that for them it tends to sell more. But people need to be careful about the information that they absorb and consume. A lot of successful people don't watch the news or just watch it very little. so they can protect their positive mindset. Because you had mentioned, I think, you implied the law of attraction, which is so important. What you think about is what you attract. And you talked about the mirror concept, which is great. And so you also compared what's going on now to 1918. Obviously, it's not the same disease, but similar. And it was way worse. More people died. The technology wasn't as great. And obviously, we're way better off than we were in 1918 as a species, as a people handling this. So people shouldn't panic. And, you know, it's interesting. They say, and I'm sure you'll agree, that life is 10% what happens to you and 90% how you respond. And people need to understand that. It's all about how they respond. You know, if life gives you a lemon, you make lemonade. Or if you're sailing and the wind changes, you adjust the sails. So life is mostly about how you respond to things that happen, 90%. And 10% is just things you can't control. So I totally agree with you. And I think that was an amazing answer, by the way. So thank you for providing it. I'm curious. Obviously, there's going to be a world where there's no pandemic. We know 1918, it was just 3 years. But we hope the world, that post-pandemic world comes sooner rather than later, hopefully this year. Where do you see things going in the future? And where do you see yourself in that future?
I think so that it's going to happen the same what happened 10 years ago and happened before the pandemic. We will have a flu because we always had a flu, and we always had a vaccine for the flu, and only 50% of the people vaccinated for the flu. Now we have a new flu, and now it's being used more as more politicized. It's being used more by the media, by the politics. There's been more restrictions. So the idea at the end is to sell you a vaccine and they can produce it. So I would say in 5 years from now, people will forget about what happened. We will have the vaccine for the flu. Only probably 50% of the population will vaccine because the other people don't vaccine. Right. It happens the same. And I would say that in 10 years from now, I would say between 10, probably 8, I would say around 10 years, we are going to have another flu who's going to be as good as the same or worse than this one. Because look at history. 10 years ago, we have a flu.
Right.
And it wasn't as bad as this one, but it was bad. 10 years before that, we have another flu. And it also happened the same. So it comes around 10 years when the new flu come up and they have their death toll and all this. So I would say prepare yourself for 10 years from now, but prepare yourself in a mentality of not waiting for it, but you can teach your kids. You know, this is where we went through this situation. You might face a situation similar in the future. Prepare them so they don't get stressed and they are ready for whatever happens. You see, you got to be prepared for the best, prepare for the worst, and expect the best. You see, so you can help your kids for the future, for them to be able to live an experience like this one again. Same like what happened with wars, you know.
Right.
Kids, every 10 years we have a big war, and we can prepare kids to go through that situation as well.
Okay. All right. Wonderful. Thank you so much for that answer. And obviously it's interesting how you mentioned that in a few years people will sort of forget about it. Well, maybe not forget about it completely, but in a sense they'll move on, and which I do agree with. And it's interesting that we do get these kind of flu pandemics every once in a while, because I know that 10 years ago it was the swine flu, and we also dealt with Ebola. So it does happen, and the next one may not be as bad, but it's something that people need to be wary of. And this is something that's normal, natural, and people shouldn't get panic or give up. They should focus on what they can control and what they can do. And I think that's so important. Now, I'm curious. Now, there are a lot of coaches out there who teach, you know, business coaches, and I'm sure family coaches or therapists or counselors and whatnot. And I'm curious, what is your competitive advantage? Like, what do you do that's different and unique that may make you better than others and whatnot?
Well, I mean, I started as a business coach, and actually I started as a consultant. So I was doing consulting for businesses, specifically business will come to me, or business owners, entrepreneurs will come to me and say, I have this great idea, I want to start this business. And I said, okay, what do you have? Nothing. Okay, so we build the business plans, and we went through the four areas, production, marketing, finances, human resources. So we have to set up everything. We have to have contracts. So we build a business in paper. Then he will take this to a bank and get financing. That was my background as consultancy. Then I started doing business coaching. I was teaching employees and business owners how to align themselves and be successful in their business. And then I realized that I was also, some people start asking me, can you help my daughter? You know, she have a low self-esteem. She is going through college. She's not doing well. So I worked with a couple girls, and it was working fine. And then I realized that I was doing students. I was doing employees and business owners. And I'm married, and we go to different seminars and different things that we can enrich our marriage all the time. And I realized that why not to become a coach? You know, I had a friend of mine, he was a family doctor, and he would only do the whole family. And so if the family had a specific need, they will go to another doctor, but he will see the whole family, and he will stay with his family for a very long time. He become part, kind of, way of the family. Wow. So I said to myself, why not a family? I mean, family is a business. Right. Family can make a lot of money. I mean, if you are well aligned with your spouse, you can become a millionaire with your spouse within 5 years.
Wow.
But most of the problem is that people drift away because they have different goals, different perception of goal or benefit from each other. And so they don't work together. If they work together, they make wonders. So then I came up with the idea. I said, why not a coach? I'm a business coach, but a coach for families. And I do coach. I don't do only business. I do also life, because I treat people that have low self-esteem. So I can really benefit a whole family. It's a relationship with you. It's like having a business coach and a life coach, but also knows someone who went through high school, and then from there wants to improve their grades or relationship with the student in college, and then wanted to choose the right spouse, and then he worked himself to work right the right spouse, and then he gets the best job he can get that job, and then start his own business, and then the cycle start again. And so you become part of that cycle, and what a more reward to see different generation that you've been able to help, and they're fruitful and produce so much better for society and for themselves.
Wow, that's amazing. And it's great that you do that. You help to keep families functional and avoid dysfunction. Yes. You help them to work together and to stay together. And that's so important, and that helps society as a whole, of course. And so you help, so in many ways you help relationships and these marriages, so the husband and wife are together. Obviously they can have different goals, but you help them to align. And it's interesting you mentioned that if they're working together and it's very cohesive, they could become a millionaire, which is, I think, incredible. I think that's definitely possible with the opportunities we have today for folks. And, you know, it's so you mentioned that the doctor would see the whole family. Which I think is amazing, because obviously working with the whole family, because the family's a unit, it's a business. You can't just speak to one person in the business or one partner or one owner. You have to speak to everyone. It's a team. So I like the concept of a family having one person to talk to about issues and whatnot, and who could help and advise them. And so you started off as a business coach, but you understood how oftentimes the personal and professional is intertwined. So from there, you became more of a family coach, where you came in and you helped that that daughter who was having self-esteem issues and whatnot. And so I think that's amazing. And because when we talk about work-life balance, in many ways it's all intertwined. You know, if things aren't going well for you at home, you're not going to do well at work. And if things aren't going well at work, that could affect how things are going at home. So it's all, in a sense, one of the same. It's all in balance and together. So that's amazing. I think you do incredible work. And I'm sure over the years you've helped many people. So I'm curious, can you tell us the most moving or entertaining stories from your career?
Yes. Well, I recently have a client. She was a student, a college student, 23
yes.
years old. And she came to me and said that she wasn't happy. So I asked her what she really wanted to do, and she wasn't sure. So I told her I could work with her, and within 30 days, I could make a change in her life.
Mm.
And so she looked at me, and she said, do you really think I should do this? And so I asked her one simple question. I said, are you happy with your life?
Mm.
And she said, no, I'm not. Okay, then let's work together.
Now,
when I have clients working with me, there has to be a commitment to work.
Right.
Because coaching is not a magic pill. It's not like you take the blue pill or the red pill and then suddenly
right.
you face reality and everything changes. Not like that. It takes time. You need to understand that your mind is like a very fertile ground.
Hmm.
Simple ideas. Most people like apples, right?
Right.
So when you want to eat an apple, you go to the grocery store, you grab an apple,
right.
you eat it. It's an instant gratification.
Right.
But if you want to really get an apple for yourself from your own tree, it will take about 4 years to get that apple. So basically what you do, you plant the seed, and as you work towards feeding the ground, preparing the ground, putting water, you have to wait between 3 to 4 years to actually get the apple.
Mm.
You see? So there's a process to get the fruit. Well, it's the same thing when we go in a business or when you go to a job.
Right.
You gotta work.
Right.
You gotta work 30 days before you get paid.
Yeah.
You gotta go and reach customers, do the work of reaching customers before you get the reward for those customers.
Right.
And do the work.
Right.
So what you want to do is to work on yourself, and it has to be a commitment, and you have to be consistently working.
Right.
So I talked to her, and we work. I combine prayers with affirmations, and we have some lessons. And within 30 days, I met her, and I said, so how are you doing? And she said,
wow.
I'm doing well. I'm doing much better. Okay, so what's new in your life? And she said, well, the past weekend, I have a date. And I said, okay, well, when was the last time you have a date? And he said, I never had a date in my life.
Oh, wow.
And so the way it works is that we gradually, if you put a seed and you put water every day, in 30 days, you will see the plant growing. But if you look at it every day, you don't see any changes.
Right.
So you see the changes on the road, but you don't see them immediately. So she was constantly looking down, walking down, feeling very insecure herself, because he was telling to herself she wasn't worth it, she wasn't pretty, she wasn't good enough. And she was constantly having these feelings and repeating to herself, so she believed that was the truth.
Right.
So what we did with her is work on word of affirmation. I am worthy. I am beautiful. I am kind. I am sweet. I am romantic. You see, those words of affirmation start building gradually. It start building confidence in you. So what she did, she was in the airport, and then she, because this is part of your, we work with the subconscious mind, so everything can be natural. It doesn't cannot be forced.
Right.
So she naturally start walking more straight, look someone, make a smile. The smile is a welcoming to anybody. Make a smile. The person smile, approach, they start talking, and then they went to the plane together. They talked the whole flight back.
Wow.
She was from Pennsylvania back to Florida, and then they have a date. And she thought it was so natural. But if you were spent 30 days before, she would never smile anybody. She was looking down. So You can get results immediately as you start working it because you put in your heart into it.
Right.
Remember, you get what you believe, and it's basically
Right.
what is in your heart. If you said,
Right.
I want a Ferrari, you can get a Ferrari tomorrow
Right.
if you believe
Right.
it, but most people don't believe it. So there's a process for you to build that belief within yourself, build that confidence that actually you can get anything you want in your life. Whether you want to have friends, whether you want to have better grade at school, whether you want to have better relationship in your work, or maybe improve and go up
Right.
to the ladder in your business, or whether you
Right.
want to start your business, it's all a matter of belief and confidence on yourself.
Wow.
And so that's
That's
what I
amazing.
work with, building your confidence so you can reach and start living the life you want to live. Because if you see people
Wow.
out there that going 5-star hotel vacation, they have paid their house, paid their car, they don't have student
Right.
loans anymore, they don't have a mortgage, and they're living a wonderful life, and you're looking behind the screen and saying, I want that life. Well, are you willing to sacrifice for that life? Because if you're willing to sacrifice, to invest time and resources to work on yourself to get that, then
Right.
you're going to get it. But if you're not, you just want to see it from a screen and wish you have those things, but you're not willing to work for it, you will never get it.
Wow. That's amazing. That was incredible. I
Thank you.
think that's one of the best answers that anyone's ever provided for that question. And thank you so much. And it's amazing how you were able to help this woman and get her immediate results in 30 days. And like you mentioned, the mind is fertile ground. So people have to be careful with the seeds they plant in their mind, of course. You know, so many people have these automatic negative thoughts. And then they're called ants, and they have to stop the ants and replace the ants with positive thoughts, which you help them do. You said prayer and affirmations is one of the key assignments you give to people. And,
Yes.
you know, that's amazing. You know, you took this woman who wasn't happy with her life, and you coached her. She made adjustments. She was committed, of course, and she was able to get a date. And prior to that, she never had a date in her life. So that's incredible. How people need to realize that they have to, you taught her that she has to make things happen in her life. And if she doesn't like something, you have to, there are solutions and to fix that. And you showed her the solutions. And it's interesting how, when you think positively, you notice opportunities that you didn't see before. They're always there, but you have to think positive to see them. Because if you think about a red car and you focus your thoughts on that, every time you go outside, you see a red car. And you're like, what happened? Well, they were always there, but since you thought about it and you believed it, you see the opportunities that are always there, but you were blind to them before. So, yeah, there's definitely something to that positive thinking and whatnot, and the importance of hard work. You know, people always see the success, but they don't realize the hard work that person put into it. You know, some people may be jealous or envious, but they don't realize that there was hard work, sacrifices that person made that they themselves could make if they wanted to, if they were committed. So again, thank you so much for that. And it's great that you took her from being insecure to secure, so to speak. And obviously it's a gradual process. So people shouldn't look for progress every day. You know, you have to look at the bigger picture. Progress every day is invisible. And that's why people get so frustrated. But you have to be consistent. And once you're consistent, the magic happens, so to speak. So it's interesting how people improve, but they may not see it day to day, I think. But people need to understand that. So thank you so much for that. I'm curious. Now, obviously, you obviously own your own business, helping people, and it's a rewarding business. But for every business owner, there's the key to it is networking. And, you know, obviously you already mentioned the importance of relationships and having a team, but so it makes sense you have to kind of network. And when you network, you're more likely to rely mostly on referrals or solely on referrals. And once you're getting lots and lots of referrals, it makes life a lot easier, I would imagine. But what advice would you give to people when it comes to networking and whatnot?
Well, the first advice is to read the word. Networking, it means work on your network. So when you surround with people, you want to make sure that you know exactly who is the person you want to attract to yourself. Okay, what is the process? You start a business, you need to know who is the person who is the best buyer of your product. Then it will have different ways. You can network with people, you talk to people. So you, when you go to an event, the event is not designed for you to stay with one person all the time. The event is designed for you to meet someone, greet, get their business card, and then go and meet someone else. The more people you know, the better. Now, what do you do with the business card? You contact the person, and then you have a face-to-face with him or one-to-one or meeting with him. And you talk to them, and you try to know if there's any way that you can provide a service to them and help them. If you are in a networking group is designed for refer business to each other. So don't go there with the simple idea of being a one-way business transaction. Don't go there to try to sell your business to them. Let them decide whether they want to buy or not, but try to build a relationship with them. And so by building that relationship and teach them what and who is your ideal client. Once they know you well and they have you in their mind and they know what is the ideal client for you, they will contact their network. And once they hear someone has a problem, they will refer to you. Sometimes you have to teach them how to understand the problem. So if they are talking with a friend and you said, hey, how you doing? And the guy said, well, I'm not doing well. The pandemic is not working with my business. That is an ideal client for a coach because pandemic has nothing to do with your business. It's your attitude who's affecting your business.
Right.
So that person is an ideal referral for a coach. So you can say, hey, I had a friend of mine. He's a coach. I know him for a long time. You should give him a call, or I'll tell him to give you a call. And then once they meet, that could be a good referral for the coach. If someone you're working on the street and you see the grass too big in the house and you know your neighbor, you can tell your neighbor, said, hey, you know, if you're interested, I have a friend of mine who's a landscaper who can take care of your grass to make sure that it looks good and not too tall. He might say, don't worry, I do it myself. Or might say, you know what, I'm getting on vacation. I do need someone that I do referral for a landscaping people. So as you surround with people, you need to teach them how they can identify the client that you want. Use them as your sales force. That is the success of BNI, Master Network, Grow Business Network, and different networking groups, private and small, that are in different locations. They're simple there to refer business to each other. If you get one of them taking your business, that is great. But it doesn't mean that that was intention. And every time you go and meet some other people in a networking group, then go and just meet them and talk to them and just share what you do and how you help people and how what is the solution you normally do. Always remember, people are not interested in buying a coaching program. People are not interested in getting a landscaping service. What they want is solution. What are you going to solve to them? I have a low self-esteem. I don't know how to get how to overcome it. Then I have a friend who's a coach who helps people with low self-esteem. They are not buying the coaching because of the coaching. They're buying the solution or the problem, which is low self-esteem. So as you just talk to people and ask them, what do they need, or was anything that they are not happy with, there's always an opportunity to offer different alternatives, and let them buy your product. Don't try to sell your product and tell people what you do and kind of show off yourself and how good you are. But but allow them, by the information you provide, for them to come back and say, hey, you know what? I really want to sit down with you and talk. Tell me more about what you do. And this is my problem. So remember, if you uncover problem from other people, you will solve those problems, and it's a win-win situation. It's a path of agreement. They get what they want. You get what you want. Both have a win-win situation.
Wow. That's amazing. That's amazing. And thank you so much for that advice. And it's interesting. It's sort of like a doctor, where a doctor doesn't prescribe you something right away. They talk to you about your symptoms. They give you questions and they diagnose something, and then they come up with a solution, which is the prescription or whatnot. Yeah, I guess it's similar to that. And it's so important. It's so important for people to network effectively. So, it's interesting how you mentioned that if you get someone's card, you want to set something up. A lot of people give me cards. I give out cards, and no one ever really comes to me later on. So this is, I think, key, important, simple advice that a lot of people aren't following and really should. And the more people you know, the better off you are. The more likely you're to be aware of opportunities and refer folks to others. And they say the most successful people have the widest and deepest networks. And even for people who are not entrepreneurs, it helps to network so you can find out about job opportunities. Even if you have a job, no job is secure. You could find a better job than the one you have. So we met through networking, which is interesting. And then now you're a guest on the show, which is great. And but you talked about the importance of people keeping their ears open. And if people talk about problems and you know a solution, you know someone that could help them, you definitely try to connect them to that individual who can solve their issue. And it's always important for people to understand who their best buyer is and focus on that. Who is your ideal client and whatnot. Again, thank you so much for that incredible answer. And now here's the thing. Obviously, we've been talking about people, and unfortunately, in society, there's a lot of social ills out there. There's, racism, sexism, and whatnot. And I'd be remiss if I didn't give you this question. Have you faced any racism or discrimination on your journey? And if so, how have you been able to overcome that as a person of color?
Yes. Well, let me tell you that this is a delicate question, but I will try to answer the best way I can. So, first, I think so that if racism is a jealousy of competition, if you see in life blue collars have a more tendency to be racist than white collars. And I will say this because there's a competition feeling in the race system. I say you are one color and you get the job that I didn't get, or you are one color, you get more money that I didn't get. So it creates disparity, competition or anger to each other. Once you go up the ladder in any business, the color doesn't really matter. Again, if let's put it this way. Let's say you are green, I am blue, and there's another guy who's purple. And you and I don't like purple at all. But we're in a desert, and we are really thirsty, and we haven't had any water for 2 days, and we know one more day we're going to die. And there's a purple guy with a glass, with 2 glasses of water. What is the solution? Are you willing to accept that water from him or not? You will, right? Because your life depends on it. It doesn't really matter whether the guy is purple, blue, yellow, whatever. It doesn't matter. At the end of the day, we all are people. Our soul is the same color for everybody. We don't have a different color soul. Everybody has the same soul. Everybody's the same. Put it this way. And you can read it in the Bible too, is your body will perish and will die, but your soul is still alive forever. So if your soul is still alive forever, then that soul that you cannot see and I cannot see the color, you cannot see the color, no one can see the color, but probably it's because it's the same color for everybody. You see, color is simply a way of describing something for us. And we see this color. If we have the color green and you call it red, the word red is just a word. The color green is just a color. It doesn't mean that the green is red. It's just you've been taught a word to describe something. You see, so our souls are one color and same color for everybody. So it doesn't really matter whether you have a foreign language or a different color. And what matters is what matters to you. What it matters to you. So if it matters to you to feel that you, other people, you think or you believe that other people do care about those things, that's
right.
not their problem. It's your problem.
Right.
So you need to change your beliefs. So remember, we all talk about attitude. If I
right.
have an attitude that people are racist because I'm Hispanic and I don't speak fluent English,
right?
You know, and I have that feeling, then I have to change my belief because other people might not have that belief. And they might say, I don't mind if you're Hispanic. I don't mind you speak maybe not a perfect English, but you are providing a service to me, and I'm grateful for that. So at the end of the day, I think so all the racism and all this is a nonsense. Is you need to understand that if you feel there is, start from you.
Right.
And if you change your attitude, all the people will change their attitude. And at the same time, is what we said in the Bible, forgive and forget as I forgive and forget those who hurt me. Because at the end, when you get attached to the belief of someone else related to your nationality, your color, the way you speak, it's like you have a chain to your neck and you can't get out. But when you let go and forgive them and forget about it, this is not for their sake. It's for your sake. That chain is broken. And you're free to do anything you want in your life.
Right. Right. Definitely. Thank you so much for that beautiful answer. Again, I think that's one of the best answers I've heard for this question. And thank you again. And obviously, forgiveness is divine, as they say. To err is human, but to forgive is divine. And forgiveness is often done for oneself and not for others. So I think it's so important. The most successful people understand this concept of forgiveness. And I loved how you talk about everyone's soul is the same or similar, even if the bodies and colors look different. And that's so important. And, you know, you talked about the importance of attitude. You know, despite external circumstances, you know, you could always choose how you respond. You know, life is 10% what happens to you, 90% how you respond. Because some business owners may be depressed about the pandemic, but then there are other business owners who own the same type of business, same circumstances, but because their attitude is different, they're thriving and they're doing much better. So that goes to show that it's how you respond. It's about that attitude. And that's so important. And it's interesting how you talked about racism often comes from jealousy and competition. But people need to realize that that you're not in competition with others. You're only in competition with yourself. You know, you're not, people always try to compare themselves to others, but comparison is often the thief of joy. And so I think I had a guest who once called it comparanoia, you know, and it's so important to focus on improving yourself and competing with yourself. And if someone has more than you have, it's because they worked hard, and you have to appreciate that. So instead of people being jealous, they have to be inspired. They have to learn from those individuals so they can do it themselves, of course. And so, again, I want to thank you for that, an incredible answer. And I'm curious now, you do great work in helping people, but what if someone's interested in doing the work that you do? What advice would you give to someone who wants to do what Gustavo Romero does? And is it okay if I call you Gus? Or
Yes. Yeah, that's correct.
Okay, great. Wonderful. So what advice would you give to someone who wants to do what Gus does?
Well, I will say that first, don't interview all the coaches that are there. Don't think that they are your competition. Focus on your niche. Focus on what you do.
Yes.
And just meet people and ask them.
Right.
Ask them if they're happy with their life. Ask them if they want anything in their life. Sometimes questions are difficult to ask because people are more close and they don't want to open up to someone they don't know.
Right.
But they will open up to someone they do know. So try to build a relationship with them to get to the point to find out about how their life are doing, how your business is doing. Just ask questions. I would say the best advice is go to Google and download in Google, I don't know where it is. I found that one. There's a little booklet that have at least 200 or 300 questions. And it's an open questions, closed question, how to start a conversation, how to maintain a conversation, how to know more about the person. The more you know about them, the more they open up. Remember, people are selfish. No one wants to hear. Everyone wants to talk. So you are the one who wants to hear and ask questions. People will tell you their life. People will tell you everything. Look, you can go to a bar, you sit down next to a person and say, how you doing? And the person doesn't stop talking and start telling you everything and tell you their life and tell you about their children and tell you everything.
Right.
And then because you're solving a particular need in a person, it doesn't matter if you have Tony Robbins, you have Bob Proctor, you have John Maxwell, you have me, and you have you, and you said, oh my God, there's no way I can compete with these guys because I'm just getting started as a coach. But guess what? What makes the difference is you. People will do coaching because of you. It has nothing to do with the material. You might be teaching the same material, but they're choosing you because who you are. Because a coach and you know who you are, where you're going, and you have confidence. So you become their leader. You become part of understanding who they are. You were there listening to them. You were there advising them. And they decided, you know what? I do need someone in my life that can move me, that can take me to a place where I can be better than myself.
Mm-hmm.
And they will choose you. They won't go for another person. They might say, well, Bob Proctor is going to cost me, I don't know, $1 million. Tony Robbins is going to cost me $1 million. You know, guys will cost me, I don't know, who knows. So just be yourself. Be original. People like that. Tell your stories.
Right.
How do you get involved in coaching? What do you struggle? How you overcome it? Because there's so many people out there, they're living your life, similar aspect of your life, and they feel connected with your story, and they want to be with you and have you helping them overcome their problems.
Wow, wonderful. That's amazing. And thank you for that incredible answer. And you mentioned how if someone wants to be a coach, that they should focus on a niche. And I think that helps a lot. You know, there's a saying that the riches are in the niches, so to speak. And it sounds corny, but there's truth to it. And you mentioned before that people need to realize who their best buyer is and who their ideal client or target market is and get focused on that. And that's why there's enough for everyone when it comes to coaching. You have that abundance mentality. It's, you know, again, it's not a competition. It's not zero sum. So you don't mind giving advice to others who want to be a coach, of course. And you talked about the importance of gaining trust, because as a coach, you're going to get to work with this person and improve their life. And so you're going to get to know intimate details about them, particularly with if you're helping a husband and wife and a family, of course. So they have to trust you. And so trust is very critical. And you mentioned through Google there's a book available, or you had alluded to, and I definitely would love to know more about that. You know, you probably have read the book Dale Carnegie's How to Win Friends and Influence People, and he talks about the importance of listening to people and not talking, letting the other person talk, because everyone likes to talk about themselves, you know. And that's how you can gain trust. People will give you so much information if you give them the floor to talk. You know, there's an old saying that when you talk, you can only say things you already know. But when you listen, you actually learn. That's when you learn something new. And so it's so important to listen and to give questions and hear the answers. And, you know, we have two ears and one mouth for a reason. So we have to do twice as much listening as talking. And so I thank you so much for that. And I think that kind of advice will help many people. And I'm curious, now, what advice would you give to someone who's looking for a coach to work with? Now, they could go to you, which I think is a great decision. But let's say if you're not available, or if this is beyond the niche you focus on, or, you know, obviously you can't coach everyone in the world.
But so if they can't go to you, what would you say to someone, what tips would you give if to someone who's looking for a coach?
Well, I think so the most important thing is how do you feel with him?
Right.
The coach is going to be, there's different coaches, and I will recommend a coach. I do, all my coaches are one-on-one coaching. So I grab
right.
the phone, I talk to them, I get involved, and I sometimes I even go to their home, you know, I'm with the whole kids. And so
right.
it's I'm very personal.
Right.
The coach
right.
is like a doctor, but it's a doctor
right.
of your soul
right.
or your beliefs. So your doctor is going to help you to improve that matter of your life. So
right.
you, my ideal is that coaches will work different ways. The coaches will
yes.
work as a group coach or as a one-on-one coach. There's different also coaches. There's coaches that work with programs, or coaches work
mm-hmm.
without program. I work with a program. It's a self-study program. But I do one-on-one through the program, and I coach normally one-on-one. We also have group sessions. So you, there's other people in a group where you can interact ideas and concepts and get support. I like families because I want the husband and the wife to be accountable to each other.
Right.
Accountability is huge in coaching because remember that we're working with habits. We're working on changing
sure.
your habits. And the way to change your habits is only through repetition. You have to be consistent every day, working
right.
on creating good habits. Otherwise, you create bad ones. When you're working all by yourself, you have a business coach, you work on yourself, the accountability has to be with the coach, but normally the coach has a lot of clients. That accountability, you have to find it with another person in a group coaching. The other person, God forbid, you choose a woman. If you're a man, you choose a woman. You study together. You're working together. Your spouse is different. There's an open door for you to get involved with that person. Of course, it will depend on your own personal beliefs, but there's always a way to prevent temptation. So I'd rather work as a husband and wife because at the end of the day, your wife or your husband is your partner for life.
Yeah.
And so who can be more accountable than your spouse, your wife, to work together toward a main goal? So I'd rather work with that way because it creates more synergy and more peace within the spouses. See, the conflict is because we don't understand each other. Well, I also implement in my coaching the 5 love languages. It's a very common book. And it's basically how people feel love and how to use that to make your spouse love, you feel love, and then through love, working together. See, at the end of the day, you need to understand that love, at the end of the day, is service. It's just a different word for service. When you service someone, you're loving that person. So when you are doing things for your wife as a service, you're actually loving her. You're telling her good things, you're providing a service for her, and she rewards you with service. And that's the way love works both sides. It's the same with businesses. Businesses, we provide a service. Basically, what we're doing, we're loving people. We love people, and people reward us with love. We give us back something that we need too. So I'd rather have them together working. Now, again, if someone is choosing a coach, rather choose a coach that will work with you in a one-on-one as much as possible. Some coaches wants to go with a lot of customers, and they will just give you a program, do it yourself. If you have questions, call me. If you don't call them, you pay for that. He's providing a service. You're paying for him. So if you don't call them, and you don't get involved with the coach to help you, what happens is that you're going to drop that program and you're going to say, it didn't work for me. Well, guess what? You never put any effort into it.
Yeah.
So I will say it's all about how much you pay too. I mean, if you want something cheap to work, of course, I mean, you're going to go on the internet and you get a cheap program. But I will say that it's always better to have someone in your life that can support you. So you got to work. Put it this way, you could pay $250 or $300 or $500 for a car. That car is going to cost you $25,000 a year just to maintain it.
You're right.
You see? Or you could pay their money to a coach who will improve your life, and probably within a year, you're going to buy a car cash free.
Right.
And you don't
have
to finance it. So
what
you need to know your priorities. I always recommend work with a coach that's closer to you, so he knows you well and work with you. And also related, if you believe in God, when have a coach that believe in God, you know, because he has a more tendency for you to stay strong in your faith. If you don't believe in God, then find a coach that maybe has beliefs similar than yours, so he can accommodate more with you. I am married. I'm a Catholic, and I really believe that marriages should stay always together, no matter what. Because people have disagreement, divorce, because the children suffer. So there's always ways to prevent you to be in trouble in your family, and that's why I came in as a coach, to prevent you to ever get a divorce, but to grow together with your spouse and make things up. So at the end of the day, you could be cheating your wife or cheating your husband. You could be doing different things, but all comes from a fear. See, the bad things in life come from fear. So if you don't believe your husband really loves you, then guess what? You're going to find someone else outside. If you really believe your spouse doesn't love you, you're going to find someone. If you believe your spouse is lying to you, you're going to find something. So if you have that trust to each other and build, that's why a coach is so important in a family, and people don't understand this. It's so important because it makes your family strong, which is the foundation of our society. But again, going back to the question again, try to find someone that might have similar beliefs that you have and can direct you that way, because he's putting his heart in his beliefs. As a coach, he's not a God. He's just a person, just like you, that have found a way to help in other people. But you want to grow your business, try to find someone that is similar the way you think.
Wow, wonderful. Thank you for that. And that's excellent advice. I think this is one of the funnest and most enlightening interviews I've ever done. And again, thank you for that answer. And it's interesting. You mentioned in the beginning, you know, how does the person make you feel? And they have to have similar beliefs to you. And I think that's so important, particularly when it comes, because you have to trust the person. And so it's like doing a job interview. You're hiring a coach, and you have to shop around and audition, which is so important. And it's interesting you talked about how a coach is like the doctor of your soul. And, you know, it's interesting when people have a doctor, they usually spend maybe an hour or two a year with them, or just a few hours here and there within a year. But you're with the person all the time and having more of a direct influence than, let's say, who's a doctor or general practitioner. So I think that's amazing. Now, you talked about the two different types of coaching, group versus one-on-one coaching. You're obviously a one-on-one coach, and I think that's a style you recommend and prefer, because one-on-one, you get more individualized attention and whatnot. And with the group, you get kind of lost in the crowd. And so I definitely agree with that. You know, you mentioned before the importance of accountability. That, you know, studies have shown accountability is one of the key ingredients for people achieving their goals. They found people stuck to their New Year's resolutions when someone else held them accountable. And you need a human being to hold you accountable. You know, a book can't hold you accountable. A magazine article or blog or, you know, social media post can't hold you accountable. But an actual living, breathing human being like a coach is great at holding a person accountable. And obviously you talked about the importance of consistency. And you mentioned the book Five Love Languages. I've heard this book before. Definitely want to read it. And I liked how you talked about how love is like a service. And I totally agree with that. And when people may think a coach is not necessary, that it's, you know, that it's maybe a waste of money or time, and that they could read this in a book. But when you pay money for a coach to hold you accountable, it's a good investment. You know, it's a better investment with a better return than you can get elsewhere, you know, that other people tend to spend a lot of money on. And so I totally agree with that everyone needs a coach.
And and obviously you have to put in the work. You know, people get a program that they read in a book or whatnot, but if it and if they don't do it, they say it doesn't work, but you have to work in order. If you don't work, it doesn't work, and you have to work. Yeah, but a coach who's one-on-one could definitely hold you accountable so you do it. So, yeah, it's amazing. And I just wanted to say that you can feel the passion in your voice. And this is your life purpose. This is your big why, and I can tell. You know, Mark Twain once said that there's two birthdays in a person's life. The day they were born and the day they figure out why. and you've definitely had two birthdays. Do you know the day we were born and you figured out why you were born? It was to help others, to keep families together. The families, again, are the basic unit of society. So it's so, so important. So you've mentioned a lot of important life lessons, which is amazing. In addition to the life lessons you shared with us, is there anything else you wanted to provide that you've learned yourself or from others along the way?
Well, I mean, you got to keep studying and reading and try to build that habit of being passionate about learning and being passionate about learning about other people. Mm. And stay, you know, we learn so much from other people. We learn.
Right.
So we even can coach other people by learning from the result and the experiences of other people. So at the end of the day, I'm not giving you a solution. I'm helping you for you to create your own solution. I'm helping you to create your own life. So sometimes I have clients that might come in and say, you know what, I did this and it worked great. And they say, oh, wow, I never thought someone will actually do that. That's
right.
Good to know. And then I'll talk with the client and say, why don't you try this way? And it works.
Right.
It wasn't originally from me. It came from another client. But it works because at the end we all connected as a one big world. We all connected. And what works for someone, it might also work for someone else.
Right. Wonderful. And thank you so much for that. And obviously you talked about the importance that people should keep studying, which is so critical because you never learn all that you need to learn. I think Albert Einstein once said that he always kept studying. He never felt that he knew everything he had to know. Even to the day that he died, he always was trying to learn new information. So I think that's so important. And you mentioned before the importance that the problem a lot of people have is fear. And there's a saying that success is on the other side of fear, that people have to, again, it's important for people to overcome that fear. And you help them with that, of course. Like you helped that woman who had social anxiety, was insecure, was looking down all the time, but you helped her improve within 30 days, which is amazing. Now you had mentioned before some folks like Tony Robbins and Bob Proctor and whatnot. I'm curious, what book recommendations would you give to people? And what gurus and luminaries and personal development that would you recommend and, to people?
So I would say people, a good book that you cannot read, but you have to study and word to it is Think and Grow Rich by Napoleon Hill. That's a master book, definitely excellent book. Now, if you wants to find the relationship, because sometimes a lot of Christians or Catholics have a conflict about money and prosperity with God and how both relate. I had a good friend of mine, which I will recommend you also to interview him in your program. His name is Asad Farah, and he wrote a book, amazing book. It's called Faith Over Finance, and it teaches all the biblical truths about money, about prosperity. So definitely interested to get that book. Think and Grow Rich. And you can always go for Tony Robbins and Bob Proctor, John Maxwell. I personally have talks over on the internet as well. And I talk very related coaching with the Bible. I think so. I strongly believe that our life is like buying a furniture or buying a car. You know, you buy a you buy a, not a car, but you buy a custom car. It can come in a box and give you all the parts, and it give you instructions. And you look at the box, and you see so many parts in this a nice, beautiful car. What happened, most people just grab the parts and start putting it together, and then they look at the picture and look at the car or look at the furniture and say, it looks like that. I think so they give us an extra part that we don't really need, but it, everything looks fine. And when we just try to make it works, but it doesn't work perfectly. Or you got the furniture that, you know, it doesn't really work perfectly, but I don't use instruction. And when you load that furniture, you try to that little car to make it work, it's not working properly, right?
Right.
So there's a, there's instructions. And I say that the Bible, whether you are believer or not, depending whether you believe in God or not, don't believe in God, grab a Bible and read it, read Proverbs. And Proverbs, I will say, is absolutely amazing, who will give you guidance in all aspects of life. And if you want to get married, read Proverbs. If you want to start a business, read Proverbs. Proverbs will give you great guidance for anything you want to do in your life. But I would say the Bible is a great manual for life. So a lot of people, and I talk to a lot of people, they say, well, I'm not a Christian. I don't believe in God. I believe that we were created by aliens or anything like that. So I said, okay, fine, I understand. I understand. It's your decision. But there's so many things in the Bible basically saying if you do good, then guess what? People will do good to you.
Right.
You see, it was telling you, if you do bad things are going to happen. So they're warning you. They give you warnings. It's the same like a manual. You buy a motorcycle, they give you a manual, and you want to change the oil. Well, you go to the section of the oil, and they explain you how to do it. And if you need to replace something in the motor, they tell you what to do it. Well, the Bible is basically that. It's telling you how to live a successful life.
Right.
So I'm not saying the Bible replaces a coach because, of course, not everybody read the Bible. We also interpret things because sometimes the Bible talks 2,000 years ago and we don't really understand. But you have to understand related with the concept of what's related to our current life. And that's how a coach can help you. So if you... If you're Christian or Catholic or Jewish, buy a coach that believe in the same that you believe. And if you're not a believer, then find a coach that believe in what you believe. Now, of course, if you want to be married all your life and you get a coach who's been divorced 5 times, I would say you're going to be better off with someone who's not divorced because you want to be stay married. And you don't want the person to say, well, you know what? If you're not happy in your marriage, you just leave. Well, what happened with the kids? Well, they'll be fine. Don't worry. As long as you're happy, they're happy. Guess what? You're not. It's not going to happen. So I'll say the best way is to find someone that is aligned with your beliefs or find someone who has better beliefs than you so he can contagious you with those beliefs and you become a better person.
Wonderful. Thank you so much for that. That was incredible again, and it's interesting. You mentioned the books Think and Grow Rich. Almost every successful person recommends this book. And then you also mentioned Faith Over Finance. And again, I'd love to have that author on the show. Thank you for being willing to make the introduction. And you also mentioned earlier the book The Five Love Languages. So I'll put that in there, which is I've heard so many great things about this book. So many people have recommended it. And I liked how you talked about the analogy with furniture, which I think is amazing. And now you talked about, obviously, you're a religious person. I think you mentioned you're a Catholic. You had mentioned the Bible, the section called the Proverbs. And then you mentioned how the Bible is sort of like a manual, particularly this section of it. I've heard people recommend Proverbs before. I think the Dr. Ben Carson, he's like a famous doctor, used to be the secretary of HUD. He talked about how he read the Bible and read Proverbs and it made life-changing improvements for him. And so I think that's a great section of the Bible, and people should read it. Even if they're not religious, they can read Proverbs. Yes. And so it's interesting that almost every religion has the same message or a similar message about doing right for yourself and others, and good things will happen, whether it's Hinduism, Islam, Judaism, or Christianity or Catholicism. A lot of them have the same similar base truths, so to speak. And now you talked about before, if you want to know something or if you want to achieve a certain level, you have to get a mentor or coach who's at that level. So if you want to, someone to help you with your marriage, you want a coach who's happily married for a long time and hasn't been divorced. And that's so true, because Tony Robbins says that you want to hang around people who are at the level you want to be at, because success leaves clues. And it's so important that people, that marriages, people understand how marriage works, and because it's for the children, as you mentioned, you know, divorce hurts children a lot. So it's so important that people try to make their marriage work and for families to stay together. So again, thank you so much for sharing these book recommendations and other advice. And I'm curious, are you ever going to write a book yourself about personal development or about your life at all?
You know, I've been thinking about writing a book lately because I have a lot of notes around me. Someone proposed to me that the other day. Mm-hmm. But I want to write a book. I like short books. I personally read long books too, don't take me wrong. There's a very good book out there that to read. But I like short books. I like books that are no longer than 20 pages or maybe 40 pages. So I want to write a book where people can read it and can get results within 30 days.
Wow.
That will be my idea. So write just a simple book people can buy maybe for, I don't know, less than $10, and they can apply it in what they want, get the result in 30 days, and then apply it again and get another result in 30 days and live their life that way. So it will be kind of an introduction for someone who has never been coached, who doesn't want to go through the whole talking and examples. It's just something straight that will tell you exactly how to do, what to do, follow instructions, you follow it, you apply it, and it works.
Wow, wonderful. Simple. That's amazing.
Yes.
And so that's great. I think almost everyone has a book in them, and it's amazing. And when that book does come out, I definitely want to buy it, of course. I'll be the first person online, so you have at least one customer. Yeah, and you have to start somewhere, so that's good. And so that's incredible that this is a project that you may do later on. And I'm curious now, and I prefer short books as well, because obviously a lot of people are short on time and they may not want to read a long book. But I'm curious, would you ever start or create a podcast yourself? I think you'd make a great podcast host.
Thank you. Yeah, well, actually, I was in a different podcast, a local podcast here in Naples, Florida, and I do videos on YouTube and Facebook, and they came to me and said, hey, you know what, you have content every day, you produce content, and you have interviews, so you should do a podcast. And he gave me a couple instructions what to do, so it's definitely something that I will consider doing. I want to stick to what I do. It's basically talking about the Bible and coaching. And so I'll stick to something like that. I like life. I think so lives give you that, that a little bit of a spirit of the video that you don't have when you edit. And give you sometimes someone comes in and makes some noise, or you drink some water, you get choked, and it's not working well, and people look at you like, what's going on? Well, that's life. Life is life. Life is life. And make it beautiful, because it's not perfect. Doesn't have to be perfect. Life is not perfect.
Right.
Life is full of imperfections. But we use those imperfections to make sure that we can live a happy life. And that what makes happy is to be simple in life. So I like lives for that matter, because it gives me that simplicity to be me. And sometimes my head scratch and I scratch my head, or I get choked by food and I have to drink some water. And so if I bring that into my videos, but I would say that.
Wonderful. And that's amazing. Thank you so much for that. And obviously when you go live and something goes wrong, people love that because it shows authenticity. It's genuine. And
it's like business, you know.
Right.
You go out of business, you go to a client to do a job, it's not pre-recorded. It's actually the business and the customer or something broke, something happened in your business. You have to improvise and you have to make it work, make it happen.
Right.
What happened to me once, I was doing a live for with someone, and I have a big itch in the back of my neck, and I really didn't want to scratch myself. At the end of the day, I couldn't hold it, just scratch, you know. And then you see the video, and looks me scratching my neck. If you go to television, of course, it's like an action. It's more produced.
Yeah.
But I like that simplicity, that sometimes something happened and you're like moving your hands and telling people, hey, don't talk, I'm in a call, or, you know, and it give a little bit of a life, and it's not so produced. And I like that. So I don't know. I'm thinking about the podcast, but I know podcasts are pre-recorded and all that. You have to edit and all that.
Yeah.
I don't know if I want to go into that matter. But so far, I'm keep doing every day at 12 p.m., I do half an hour of live video on YouTube and Facebook in English. And at 12:30, I do it in Spanish.
Wow. Amazing. That's incredible. Thank you so much for that. And so you prefer doing live video, and that's great. I can send you some resources that can help you with that in terms of, like, to multicast. And so you prefer the live video over a pre-recorded podcast. And I totally get that. And obviously people love when people make, you know, when you make mistakes, that endears you to people. They've done studies where someone, you know, does something by accident or whatever, and people end up liking them even more. So there's something to that authenticity and whatnot. So you're absolutely right. So I am glad that you're doing, it looks like you're already doing something similar to a podcast. You do live video, I think, on YouTube and Facebook. I'm definitely going to check out more and more of that stuff. So that's, and I suggest for the folks in the audience and listeners to do the same. So that's amazing. Thank you so much, for talking about that. And I'm curious now, obviously, this has been an amazing, enlightening and educational, conversation. Thank you for coming on as a guest. And I want to thank the people in the audience, for listening. Can you go ahead, though, and describe all the ways that people can reach out and connect with you if they want to utilize, or know someone wants to utilize your services, or put you in their network?
Yes. So you can go to my website. It's thinkintosuccessacademy.com. In the first page, you see my face. You can contact me there. I have my cell phone number there. You can text me anytime. And then also have my email there. So I think that's the best way. Just go to my website and you'll see all what I do, my clients, the videos and everything I do there. And best way is my website.
Okay, definitely. Yes. Thank you so much for sharing that. By the way, I'm going to have all the information you just shared with us. It'll be listed in the episode description box, so people will see it there, see it, read it there. All right. So, again, I wanted to go ahead and thank you for being a guest on the show, and thank you to the audience for listening. I wanted to give you the last word or the final send-off. Is there anything else you just wanted to mention?
Yeah, I will tell people, I will say one thing. Whatever you want to do in your life, make sure you ask the right person. And when it means to ask the right person, is you will not ask a blind to show you the way.
Right.
You won't ask someone who doesn't know or ever done what you want to do to tell you what is a good thing to do. So if you want to go and invest in real estate, talk to people that are successful in real estate, that buy properties, that are doing that, because they will give you the best insight. If you have, if you want to know about coaching, talk to people that has been coached before. What are the results? What are the outcomes that you get from it? Don't ask a blind to show your way, because it makes no sense to ask someone who has no experience of what you want to do, ask them their advice. First thing, if they knew, they wouldn't be in the situation they are. They are there because they don't probably believe in real estate. They don't believe in coaching. They believe that everything should be their ways. And guess what? They don't have the life. So if you want to be a millionaire, talk to a millionaire. If you want to own a boat, talk to someone who owns a boat and is brand new. No one that bought a cheapest boat in the world. So just go out there and ask questions to the people that are related and successful in what you want to be in your life. Put it this way.
Amazing.
Success built in success. If you want to be successful in something, ask someone who's successful in what you want in your life. If you want to be unsuccessful, ask people that are unsuccessful in those things in your life. But always understand another thing. Whatever you want to do, when you make a decision, no one is making a decision to be a failure. You always make a decision to be a success.
Right.
And when you make that decision, there's a 90% chance you will be successful. And there's like a 10% that if you don't put your heart, you won't be successful. But I will say almost 99.9% you will be successful.
Wow. That's amazing. Thank you so much for that. Again, thank you for being a guest, and thank you to the audience at home. I'm going to see you guys in the next. Hey, guys, before you go, just real quick, if you can just do me a favor, if you can head over to the Apple Podcast app, and if you're not there already, and if you can leave me a 5-star review, that would be great. If you love the show, if you can just go ahead and do that, and that will help to spread the word about the show, and other people can enjoy the show as much as you do. And so if you can do that, that would mean the world to me. And also, if you want to email me with any feedback or any praise or support, please feel free to go ahead and do that. And you can also email me to request to be put on our email list. So we can send you out emails when new episodes come out. So thank you very much for being a fan of the show. Thank you for listening to the show and supporting the show. So if you can do that, go out and give us a 5-star review on the Apple Podcast app. That would be great. And if you can email us so we can put you on the email list and email us with feedback and praise, that would be amazing. Thank you so much, and I'll see you guys in the next episode. Take care. Bye-bye.